with a big stare like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the choke slam on face. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, tell like I'm Tommaso. If you suck with like tomatoes, I'ma keep a couple models. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the fame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait, done with that, then I got two words for you, suck it.
Welcome to Australia's longest running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. It is good to be back again this week, albeit maybe a little bit late. I'm not too sure how things are going to work with the timing and delivery of this show, as the Australia Day sort of holiday in the middle of the week sort of broke things up, really broke my rhythm of how I would normally do a show. So, and then we went to record the show on a Thursday night, and traffic is fun up here in Queensland, especially when there's a time difference in between us and apparently the rest of the world. So it makes it sort of hard to be able to get together to do our interviews. And my guest this week, Richie Taylor, was very kind enough to be able to transfer it again to Friday night. So we're going to be recording this on a Friday night. So if it's out Saturday, you know that Todd pulled an all-nighter to get this one out. But yes, my guest this week is Richie Taylor, one of the, I'd say, up-and-coming guys in Australian wrestling, but he's here, let's face it. He's working his way around to most feds, most any fed that has a name, you'll find Richie Taylor there, and it really speaks of his work. He just did his match at Deathmatch Down Under. We're going to talk a little bit about that. I'm going to ask him about that anyway. He might talk about it. Who knows? Hasn't been recorded yet. Deathmatch Down Under. He's at GCW this weekend. He's got MCW and then Deathmatch Down Under again. So this guy has definitely taken advantage of shows happening again in Melbourne. So we're going to get to talking to him in a very quick moment, right after this quick Views from the East, right here, WrestleMania Australia. Wrestle Radio Australia. Try that one. This past weekend, I was up at Queensland for Venom Pro Wrestling. And it really hit me how good it felt to be around an actual crowd of people watching professional wrestling again. It's something that I didn't realize how much it really meant to me, or I don't think a lot of us realized how much it really meant to us to be in front of a crowd and actually getting to work. And I didn't even get to work in front of the crowd. So it's sort of like I got to live vicariously through those guys that walking through the curtain. And I think, for me, the biggest thing that we lost, and COVID took a lot of things from a lot of people. It took people's jobs. It took a lot of people's families' lives. But for me, the biggest loss we had was a sense of community, a sense of getting around each other, because we just couldn't do it. The very nature of the virus was to socially distant, was to keep away from each other. And for me, it didn't really even hit me for the first couple of months. I mean, the no shows is one thing. It was always good to get a break away from having to do the if you were doing the stuff that I was doing, it was sort of like a 24/7 job. And for that to just sort of break, it was like going on a vacation. But then after a couple of months, and it didn't really hit me until I started watching the WWE shows from the Performance Center when they had no crowds and just a stark silence in between the moves. That's when it really hit me how much we depend on the crowd interactions, how much we depend as performers on hearing that response from the crowd, that visceral response from the crowd. And being in the crowd this past Saturday night, it's made me realize how much we missed all of that, because just being around one another. And like I said, the whole thing about this COVID is to socially distance, to stay away from each other. And I don't think anyone, or we all expected it to have the effect on our mental health that it has and that it did. And to see now us getting around each other and slowly getting back to the way things used to be, if you can go to the footy and now to be able to go to the wrestling and all of that sort of thing. And to see all of that is really good. And I'm so glad that we have that we can do. And hopefully as this thing goes on, we can build that sense of community again, that sense of family that wrestling is. When it's wrestling is done in the right places for the right promotions, the backstage feels like a family, and there that sort of translates into the crowd, and then the crowd feel like an extension of your family. They feel like they're a part of the show as well. And that's something that you can't buy. And it's something that I don't think we realized how much we needed until this has happened. And so I guess what I'm sort of pointing to is, please, if you get the chance and you can do it in a safe, proper manner, get out there and support. Get out there for your own health, for your own mental health, and you'll be surprised how much better you'll feel if you can get out there for a night. If you do it safe, if you're not feeling all that safe about being in a crowd of people, wear a mask. Mask up. I have no issue with people doing that. If I was in a really like condensed group of people, I think I probably would, to be honest with you. But if you can do it safe in a socially responsible way, and support and get around each other, not just get around wrestling, get around each other, and let's really kick this thing in its ass and get back to the way things used to be. Anyway, that was it for my very long-winded views from the East. It wasn't really a views, it was just sort of a observations from the East, maybe. So until next time, that's my opinion and you're entitled to it. And here is Richie Taylor right here on Wrestle Radio Australia.
Jake's teeth. You think you're tough because you trade in your purple pants for black ones? You think you're tough because you drop the F-bomb after every promo you do now? You think you're tough because you treat people like shit? You don't know what toughness is, JXT. You see, the difference between me and you is that I have to fight every day, every week, every year to get where I am today. But you, JXT, everything's just been handed to you because you've got a body and people think that's what a wrestler is. Well, it's not. And at Smashing Sandcastles at Deathmatch Down Under, this isn't going to be a wrestling match. This is going to be a straight up fight. And we'll see how tough you really are. JXT, you call yourself blacklisted. And that means you don't get used at many companies anymore. But did you ever think that maybe you're just not as good a wrestler as what you think you are?
My guest is a guy today who, has not stopped coming forward as soon as Melbourne Wrestling opened up again. Richie Taylor, mate, is there a minute that you're not booked on a show this week or this month even?
Hey, man. It's nice to see you again. Nice chatting with you. it's been good since January's come back. I'm getting in the swing of things and most of my weekends are booked up until March at this stage. And I've got a little drips and drabs going forward after March, but pretty solid up until March, man. So I'm really looking forward to getting in the swing of things.
Because you must have been a guy that when this all hit and the world sort of, the industry sort of collapsed because we couldn't do anything, you would sort of really hit your straps in 2019 going into 2020. Was there any part of you that was sort of worried that was your window and when this whole thing opened up that maybe they would have moved on? Or was it just a matter of just keeping in contact and just, I'm here, I'm still training, I'm still going?
That's a fair point. Look, I'm at the stage of my career that if I just don't get used anymore, so be it. I've had a good ride, man. Like, it's just the way wrestling works. Like, 1 minute you're up here and the next you're down low. Whatever, it's crazy roller coaster of a ride. So, I just grab every opportunity I can. So while I can ride that wave, I will, man. So, but yeah, like when wrestling started to come back, I'd hit up promoters and be like, hey, man, you know, I'm still here. Or they would hit me up and say, we still want you on the show, etc. moving forward. So it's been good. I've put in a lot of hard work over the years. So it's good that it's finally paying off.
Yeah, because like I said, 2019 heading into 2020, that hard work really had paid off. You were a regular on MCW. You were traveling the country. We worked a show together up here in Queensland not too long before that, where we had that awkward moment at the end of the match.
I chased you around the ring. Is that right?
Yeah, because you remember the finish was my guy pinned, because it was a three-way dance. My guy pinned Mitch McCarthy, and I was supposed to grab you around the waist to stop you from breaking the pin up. And we hadn't thought about what happens after the bell rings. And you and I just like, I let you go and you and I looked at each other. I'm just going, oh, fuck. And just started running.
It was good. It worked well though, I reckon.
Yeah. So just taking a step back, you took some time off a while back before getting back into action. Was that was it good to have that break? And did sort of like having the break sort of enforced on you this time, just sort of a refresher again?
Yeah. Are you referring to like the break during COVID or the time before that?
There was a time before that, and then sort of like relating it to the break for COVID.
Yeah, right. So, long story short, I had a massive drinking problem growing up in my teenage years, and it just got to the point where I preferred drinking over wrestling, and I just needed to get myself back on track. So, I got sober, and through the help of my partner and everything, and then my love for the pro wrestling that never really went away. It wasn't one of my priorities anymore. My love for it came back and I just started training again. And it was actually Lobo who gave me an opportunity to come back and work and see how I go. And yeah, and then it just, you know, it was still a few years from there until things really started to kick off. So I didn't really hit my straps until it was like, I don't know, I was like 28 or 29 or something. It was like further on in my career. So, but it was good. It was good to have that time off and get sober and look after myself. And, who knows, if I didn't get sober, I probably wouldn't have wrestled ever again.
Mm. Do you find that like having all of that thing sort of helps you with your sobriety, maybe? Because you've got something to do. You've got something to keep your mind on.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, man. I haven't really thought about it like that before, but yeah, maybe the training, the wrestling training and the other stuff that I'm doing, with like veganism and like stuff in my personal life, going back to school and stuff. So yeah. Probably, man. I'd say, yeah.
We were way off road where we were going to go for this podcast, but there we go.
Yeah, yeah, sorry. In all my interviews and stuff, I just want to be as real as possible, man. That's just my whole thing. Like,
yeah.
There's so much bullshit in wrestling anyway, so I just want to be upfront and as straightforward as I can be.
You mentioned the veganism before. I always wanted to ask this because I wondered about it because I know that Daniel Bryan tried it but couldn't do it for – I can't remember. I think he has some medical condition where he sort of has to get that thing. Do you find that you have to sort of supplement with vitamins or whatever for certain things? I don't know what it's like with you because I know that Daniel Bryan's sort of like more of a body-ish guy. He's more like ripped than you. I was just wondering if that was a concern or that was a problem that you sort of had to encounter and find a remedy around.
Yeah, look, all my blood tests are usually okay. I do supplement my B12 and omegas. So I just have little capsules for them. But other than that, man, I get everything I need. All my blood tests are fine. All my work's fine. Like nothing's slowing me down because I became vegan or anything. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's made me feel better. So yeah, no, just a couple of little pills here and there. But that's just to make sure I'm on top of things. There was a time when I wasn't taking the pills and I was borderline where I'm supposed to be just because I wasn't eating the correct nutrition. So I thought, you know what, I'll just grab the pills. It's easier that way. And so be it.
Yeah. So if you wanted to sort of like really like shred, you'd have to sort of adjust that again. I find it fascinating myself. That's what I'm asking.
No, probably. And I'd probably have to just... Because I eat a lot of mock meats as well. So I'd probably have to cut it. I'd have to change my diet completely to what it is now because I eat a lot of mock meats and a lot of big meals, man, because I like to eat. Fuck. So, I'd have to cut down my portions. It's a whole thing. It'd have to be a whole new diet plan, I guess. I don't like using that term, but
yeah,
it has to be.
Yeah. It's not so much like when I've been – obviously, I'm not on one now. But when I've been on diets, I don't think of it as diet. I just think of it as like, this is the fuel I'm going to have now. Instead of like, because for someone like me, like I have an eating problem. I love food. And I love all the worst foods. And it's a problem that I have to, every now and then I have to go, look what I've done to myself. Time to knuckle down. And yeah, for me, that's what I have to do is just change my mindset to go, this is fuel. And yeah, my wife recently has just gone vegetarian, so she's just starting to get into these. Oh, don't.
Anya.
Oh, don't.
Hey, who knows? You might enjoy it.
She does all these things like she'll say she'll like, I'm making like chicken wing. Well, no, you're not.
Tofu wings.
Yeah. What part of the cauliflower is the wing? I just need to know.
Yeah. No, it's good though. It's good. It's healthier for you, man.
No, well, like for her, like I support her completely. You're an idiot and all do all that sort of stuff because that's her choice. I'd never mock someone for whatever they choose to do. Like yourself, I wouldn't mock you for being vegan because that's the lifestyle that you've chosen. And because you feel, because I believe yours is more about the whole, the animal cruelty and that sort of
thing. Yeah.
A big reason behind your veganism. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the main reason I went vegan. I care a little bit about my health cause I'm getting a bit older now, whatever, but it's mainly for the animals, man. Like, just the stuff we do to them is, not very good. So, but we're getting off topic. I think I could go in for an hour long speech about veganism.
Yeah. See, that's what, remember I told you, so it would be a general chat because I know these things happen.
Yeah, that's right. Ben, tell your wife if she needs any recipes, hit me up.
All right. Well, we'll do. So when you came back to wrestling, did you see it as a way to sort of, or a reason to sort of reboot, so to speak, your whole style, your look, your thing? How did you approach that?
Yeah. So when I came back, so before I left, I got like in really good shape. I was like down to like 70 kilos and like just like a nice looking body, but it's not me. I like starved myself, man. Like I just was miserable, you know, I was just, and this one, I was still eating meat and stuff as well. And then I was drinking on top of that and all that, but yeah, then I left and then I put back on the kilos. And when I first started, I was trying to do what everyone else was doing. Like I had to try and fucking do handsprings or 450s or flip out of a clothesline. That's not me, man. Like I was just trying to keep up with the time. So when I came back, I really focused on the wrestlers I love watching, like Chris Hero. He's a huge inspiration of mine. Eric Cannon, like the guys that were kind of fat, but were still fucking amazing. So I watched them a lot and I'm like, that's the style I want to start incorporating. So yeah, I got rid of all the flips and all the bullshit. And then, yeah, just started focusing on that strong style kind of wrestling when I came back.
Yeah, well oftentimes, like if you're going to be like try to be like everyone else, then you're just going to fall into that same category with everyone else. If you go a different route or a different sort of style, you're going to stand out. And obviously you did, because when you came back, you sort of like, as soon as you came back, people really started talking about Richie Taylor, you know what I mean? It wasn't sort of like, for me anyway, it wasn't a gradual thing. I was just hearing Richie Taylor's name everywhere all of a sudden, just out of the blue.
Yeah, definitely, man. I definitely got lost in the shuffle when I was early on, and I kind of had a bit of a bad attitude as well, which is what happens when you're fucking 18 years old, drink piss 24/7. So, but then, you know, when I came back, I was just focused on doing the style I wanted to do. And this might sound a bit shit, but I didn't really care what the fans or the other wrestlers wanted me to do. I just wanted to do my style of brawling because no one was doing it. A lot of elbows and strikes. No one's doing that. And hopefully it takes off. And if it doesn't, well, so be it. I'll retire. I'll give up, or I'll just go until I'm not relevant anymore. So, but for some reason, man, wrestling's a weird thing. Like the strong style stuff started to pick back up, and I just came back at the right time where everyone wants to see people kick the shit out of each other. And it was the way I was trained as well by Mike Burr. And that's what I give the fans now. I'm just out there beating the shit out of my opponent, and in return, they're beating the shit out of me.
But also sort of the thing, like, I know I did with this, I tell a lot of like young guys coming into something, like, if I, and I, especially I noticed this when I moved from Adelaide to Brisbane, I was just like, I would look, if I was a worker and I moved, say, from Adelaide to Brisbane, I would look at whatever Fed I wanted to go to and go, right, they don't have this, so I'm going to be this. Like, if they've got a shitload of heels, I'm going to be a baby face because it's something that's needed. It's different. It's that sort of thing. I think a lot of guys sort of miss that where they won't so look like, this is what I want to do. They'll look of like, I just want to fit in. I just want to try and get by. And the braver choice is to do that thing that's needed, because eventually it will pay off for you.
Yeah, definitely, man. And there were, I don't think for me personally, there wasn't any of that when I came back. I just purely was like, I'm doing this style. And if people like it, they like it. If not, it doesn't matter. But I totally agree with your point as well for the new up and coming guys. If, you know, they want to get booked somewhere on a big company or whatever, or move up the ranks, do something different, do something that people aren't doing, you know. And, you know, we can see that transition now, even like Will Ospreay, for instance. He doesn't do as many flips, probably because he can't, because he's fucking huge now. But you know, he does more strikes and stuff now. You know, you sort of got to evolve as well with the times. But yeah, no, I agree with you, man. Just do something different when you're trying to up and come.
Mm. And you're speaking to that, you're trained, of course, by Mike Burr. COVID was sort of the thing that sort of like, you guys were really clicking as a tag team. How disappointed were you when he sort of, well, that's it for me, I'm going to retire during this break? Because you guys were really sort of, you sort of had something going in MCW at the time. And as much respect as we all have for Mike Burr, unbelievable, like, competitor and what he's given to Australian wrestling, just even Melbourne wrestling, training yourself and others. Were you sort of disappointed at that? Because you guys have sort of really found your rhythm and you were clicking, and not disappointed in him, but disappointed that you couldn't expand further that team. I was trying to say it in a way that I wasn't like, are you mad?
No. No, I know what you mean. I'm not disappointed about the tag stuff. I don't care. I'm disappointed that Mike wasn't able to have a last match. That's more what I'm disappointed about. The tag shit comes and goes. Like, it was cool tagging with your trainer, you know. If there's no Richie Taylor without Mike Burr. He really drilled that into me, this sort of style that I do now, at a very early age. And yeah, without him, I wouldn't be successful in this country. But yeah, I'm just disappointed that he wasn't able to go out the way he wanted. You know, he's been around a long time. I've got the utmost respect for him. I would have loved to have last match with him, but that's just my ego talking and me being selfish. I would have loved to put that old man out, but it wasn't meant to be, and he made the call, and I support whatever he wants to do.
Mm. Was there something where he let you know before he let everyone else? I don't know, because you guys were tagging at the time. Or was it?
Yeah, look, he did. It was just a brief couple of messages here and there saying he might hang up the boots, etc. And like I said, man, I was just supportive with whatever he wants to do. You know, once wrestling gets that stage where you've had enough and you think you need to hang up the boots, it's probably time.
Yeah, well, too many guys go on past what they probably should anyway, but it's always got to be their call, really, unless it's like dangerous for the people that they're working.
Yeah, of course. And this was Mike's call.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got, Wrestle Rumble this weekend, GCW, this Saturday night?
I sure do.
Yeah,
that's against, right.
Against Craig Cole. Jason
Craig, Cole. Pitbull?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I hope not. Jason the Crusher Cole tomorrow night down in Geelong, for anyone that knows that area in Melbourne. It should be good, man. I've worked for GCW a few times. It's really good crowd down there. They pop for everything. It's like real, real easy to work, you know, they just pop for a suplex or a punch or whatever. So it's really good to work. We'll see what happens. He's a big boy. Mm. So,
well, I mean, was it your first match back you had, Tommy?
Yeah, it's my first proper match back.
Yeah. There's another big boy. You're not really going down in size, are you, mate?
Well, that's the thing. I always give up a bit of size because I'm so fucking short. But yeah, no, Tommy, my first match back, and it was everything I expected, man. He was going to beat the shit out of me, and I'd try and beat the shit out of him. And yeah, I think that match was pretty good. But yeah, now I'm on to Jason Crusher. He's like the same size as Tommy anyway. So he's got like 40, 50 kilos on me. So what's a bumping happening tomorrow?
you must have been stoked, because I don't think that Tommy was your original opponent for that, was he?
No, I was originally up against Shazam McKenzie.
That's right, yes. Yeah, and then you move. Talk about two different sort of styles. You're sort of like, yeah. You're sort of thinking in your mind about what you can do with Shazam. Next thing is like, oh, you're not having Shazam. Oh, okay, so someone like, yeah, kind of, Tommy Knight.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, I'm more comfortable when it comes to wrestling guys like Tommy. Yeah, I know what to expect.
Yeah.
When I wrestle someone like Shazza, it's more nerve-wracking. Not because she's more not because she's more over, got more followers. She's more popular. Not because she's more popular or whatever, just because it's a completely different style than I'm used to working. So it's always more nerve-wracking with that. But when it's just some brawler dude that wants to throw hands, that's my element. And it's so easy to work that sort of match because I've done it so many times before. But at some stage, I'll have Shazza again, and we'll see what happens.
What was it like working Deathmatch down for their first show?
It was awesome, dude.
Yeah?
It was amazing. I got looked after so well. Just the crowd popping when my music went off. All the sound was amazing. The match went awesome. The crowd were amazing. It's a really awesome promotion to work. And I'm really honored that I was able to work their first show and open it up the way we did.
Mm. And you've also got, you've got that. Then you've got, is Sandcastles is before MCW, isn't it? So you'll be working.
No, MCW is before Sandcastles. So I've got MCW and then Smashing Sandcastles.
Oh, I guess it is. Sorry, sixth. I'm looking there.
The sixth, yeah. Next weekend.
Yeah, so you've got to be absolutely chomping at the bit to get back into the Thornbury.
Oh, of course, man. That's an amazing venue. And that's the Thornbury Theatre made Richie Taylor. Fucking hell. All these chants were getting thrown at me. It was crazy. I just... very fortunate for the fans at MCW that they rallied behind me. So yeah, I'm chomping at the bit to get down there, and hopefully it's a good match, man. It's a four way, so we'll see how we go. I'm gonna be gassed.
especially with the guys you're in there with. I'm like, could you get more like different? You've pretty much got three high flyers in you, which would just be there swinging at them.
That's right. They do all the running. I come in, pa, pa, pa. There we go. Beat them up. Yeah, but no, I have to do some sort of running. I like to do all the fast spots and and then hit them with something. Yeah. So, you know, I'll be gassed in the first 2 minutes, but it should be good, man. I've never worked. No, I lie. I haven't worked Royce or Emin in a singles. Okay. I've only worked Tyson in a singles before. So it should be really fun to work these boys. They're amazing. I love Emin too. I always love getting in the ring with him. It should be fun. Good fun.
Especially because...
definitely it's good.
Yeah, it also almost feels like, because it's a new ownership, it's a new sort of thing, it almost feels like a whole new promotion sort of thing almost. Especially when they're starting with a homecoming show with Ballroom Brawl and the whole... Yeah. That's sort of like, to me, because I'm a massive Royal Rumble mark. So all of those shows from any like big company, I just love watching anyway.
Yeah.
So
the Rumbles, eh? Look, they're not my favorite matches to work, but... no, they go right. Yeah, it's a little bit nerve-wracking because, you know, it's... under all new management and everything, and it's just ran a little differently. So it's a little nerve wracking, but we're saying that I'm always nervous before matches anyway, because I care so much, man. Like I want to perform up to my standard, up to the person I'm wrestling standard, and to the crowd standards, you know, like I always want to perform at my best. So I'm always nervous before a match. So this is no different, really.
Yeah. Like I said, like Rumbles, I'm a massive mark for, until I actually had to book one. And then after that, I'm just, I'll watch
more Rumbles.
I'll watch them all day. It was fine because when I worked in Riot City in Adelaide, there was a group of four or five of us that would book the Rumble. So we go, you take this, you take this, you take that. Then I came up here and I booked a Rumble up here for Venom. And the owner at the time was adamant that it had to be 30 because that's what a Royal Rumble is. It's got to be 30 people because everyone knows that's what a Royal Rumble is, 30 people. As much as I kept arguing that we don't have 30 people, I don't know what you expect. Anyway, booked the whole show, booked the whole sort of the match. And I think it was like seven people pulled out day of.
Of course.
So I had to rebook the whole Rumble from, I think it was like 4 o'clock that afternoon.
Dude, that sounds brutal.
It was fun. Yeah, it was really fun.
That's why I could never book, man. I could never book.
I only bring that up because I was watching the WWE Network did a documentary on Pat Patterson.
Okay, yep.
In my way, because he invented the Royal Rumble. And they said that for that first one, he took 4 months to book that match.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I wish I had that kind of time.
You had 4 hours.
Yeah. So, what are your, because I know we can't really make that many plans with the way that the environment is nowadays, but your ultimate goal, do you want to travel international with that when that eventually opens up again? Or is it sort of the thing where you want to just, because I know there are a lot of guys at the moment who's like, I just want to stay in Australia and build this industry up, because at the moment we've got such a head start on the rest of the world. Where we can, I think anyway, personally, that we have such a chance to make a foothold in the world of professional wrestling, just for the fact that we're one of the only countries at the moment that can have a decent amount of crowd watching our shows. So if we can get that, and like with Deathmatch Down Under, it gets shown now worldwide, that can do untold things for the industry up here. So is it one of those things where you want to stay here, or do you eventually want to travel?
Look, man, I wouldn't mind having a few international bouts, but ultimately, man, this is home. I'm never going to be signed. I'm never going to be a full-time wrestler. You know, I'm never going to make a living off pro wrestling, but that wasn't my goal in the first place anyway. I do this because I love professional wrestling, and, you know, I'm always going to love it. So, sure, I'd love to do a few international shows if the opportunity comes, but ultimately I'm here and I'll just keep doing my thing, and hopefully it helps Melbourne wrestling and Australian wrestling, and we'll go from there. Like, COVID actually spoiled an international opportunity that I had lined up. I was supposed to work ICW in Scotland, and unfortunately that wasn't meant to be, man, so that's okay. But so I'll just keep building it here until, you know, I can go international for one or two shows. Or it might not happen, man. Like, I'm 31 this year. It might not happen. I might not be able to wrestle internationally. I just have to be okay with that. And I am. I'm okay with that.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's the best way to approach it, is if it happens, it happens. And I'll take as much advantage of it as I can. If it doesn't, I'm just going to make the local product and my part in it as strong as I possibly can.
100%, man. And that's always been my thing as well. So, I think I'm doing okay doing that. I could always be doing more, of course. I think everyone can always be doing more, but I do try my best to, make every company I'm at, you know, a little better. So we'll just see what happens.
So say 2019 into 2020 was sort of like, that was the year where you sort of really made your mark on Australian wrestling, sort of really put out there that you're going to be a name to be reckoned with over the next few years. Who do you see in this year as we opened up as someone who will do what you did back then?
Oh, man. That is tough, dude.
I thought you'd be the best person to ask because you're working everywhere. So
it's true. It's hard because sometimes people that are amazing just don't get an opportunity. I want to say Emin. Would that? I think Emin is going to blow up at some stage. He's slowly getting the opportunities here and there, but I think he's already a big deal anyway. Like there's a couple of guys. Adrenaline pro wrestling down here, but like I said, I don't know if they'll get the opportunities. You know, wrestling's all about getting opportunities, but there's a guy called Jordan Sampson. He's really good. He's a huge dude. He moves really well. He's really agile. His striking's awesome. So I think he could do pretty well if he gets the opportunities. Hayter will blow up at some stage, man. He will be all over the country. I love that man. We've had a couple of good matches together. So I think he will blow up eventually.
He's one of those guys that's almost got too much personality to not blow up.
Exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. And because he's been around for so long, I forget how young he is.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah. I think he's like my age. He's like 22. I'm like, fuck, dude, you've been around as long as I have. Why are you so young? So, yeah, I think it's just a matter of time before he blows up. Well, I hope he does anyway. He's got all the potential in the world.
Yeah. Well, what we'll do is I was just trying to think. There was something I was going to ask. But no. Carlo Cannon's boy. I can't remember what his name is. The Asian guy, the Jax.
Oh, yeah. I want to say Quok? Oh, I could be wrong, dude.
Yeah, I'm the same. I was drawing a complete blank on what he did. But every time I've seen him in whatever I've seen him in, he just looks so intense. And so I'm like, when's this kid going to get a shot somewhere?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's harder for the big guys like that too, because they don't get to properly work, if that makes sense. Because they're so big. It's just like big man all the time. They don't properly get to work like as a wrestler.
Mm.
If you know what it, like, yeah, they're obviously wrestlers, but they're just doing the squash match or a couple of bumps here and there where I'm sure he wants to be working. So once he starts properly wrestling and working his sort of style, I think, yeah, he'll blow up. But I think also he doesn't want to wrestle as much.
Oh, okay.
From our conversation. I could be wrong, and things change all the time. Maybe he wants to wrestle heaps now, so yeah. I don't know.
Well, you never know what happens after you had a year off.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
mate, I think you've got JXT coming up, of course. So what have you got? Let's just go through in order of what you've got.
Let's do it.
You've got Crusher this Saturday night.
Yep.
And then after that,
I'm actually doing a show on Monday. It's just a little private show. So I've got a show on Monday where I'm wrestling Gore.
Okay. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. on a weekday. So yeah, I'm wrestling Gore. And then I've got MCW, which is the four-way.
Yep.
Then I've got Deathmatch Down Under, which is JXT.
Yep.
And then at the end of the month, I've got Adrenaline Pro Wrestling.
Oof. Jeez.
Yeah.
I tell you, it must feel good to have all of that in the calendar, especially after the year that we've had, and to go, this is some, like at the start of the show, I do like a little like monologue sort of thing. And I mentioned that, like, cause I went to Venom Pro Wrestling over the last past weekend, and just to be in a crowd of people watching wrestling, it felt so different, so good, because it was an old feeling that I didn't realize how much I missed it until I'd been. So it must be really good for you to see a full calendar and go, I'm going to get back to doing what I love doing on a regular basis.
Dude, 100%. 100%. Like, I love the time off. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to stay here and go, oh, fuck, I missed wrestling so much. I loved the time off. But it's awesome now that we're back. Like, I'm ready to go full steam ahead now that the bookings are starting to come. yeah, I can't wait, man. Can't wait to see where this year takes me.
Yeah, like I did a show a couple of months ago up here at IPW. There's a great bunch of guys up there, but it was one of those ones where it was like the socially distanced crowd.
Yeah, right.
It just felt so weird because it's not that. I think it's because everyone's so close. You get that like kinetic energy, if you will, from the crowd, and you just didn't really feel that because it's almost like people were still scared to be near each other. So and that's such a stark difference between then and then last weekend at Venom. And to be honest, it was like, oh, this is what I've missed. This is the exact feeling I've missed. And I was so jealous of the people that were actually going through that curtain that night, because it's like, that would be great to be out there and to feel that energy coming from the crowd.
Yeah, there's no other feeling like it, man. It's crazy.
No, especially like, and it's a bit because I've worked babyface a little bit, but even when you get them hating you, and just it's still a great feeling. I don't know how to explain it. It's just great that they hate you and want to kill you.
Yeah. Hey, you're doing your job well.
Well, yeah. What do you as a mate? What do you prefer to work? Do you prefer to work a babyface or as a heel role?
Yeah, baby. I've always kind of been a baby, and I just work better because I'm such a small dude. I like to sell a lot, and I like to make the other person look $1 million. So yeah, I like working baby. I like to fight from underneath and come back. And you know, I've just pretty much worked my whole career as a baby, so I think it's I just feel comfortable working baby face anywhere I go. I feel a little lost when I work as a heel.
I actually love hearing that, because the standard answer for everyone is, oh, I love being a heel. I love being hated. I think it's almost harder now to be a baby face, a true baby face, than it is to just be a heel, because it's a lot easier. I find it a lot easier to make someone hate me than it is to make someone love me.
Yeah, exactly right, man. I agree with that, dude. I could easily become a heel, man. I'm vegan, dude. I just play that up and everyone would fucking hate me. But yeah, of course, it's a lot harder because, especially with your comebacks and stuff, if it's not crisp and you're botchy, man, the crowd are like, what the fuck? Or if you're not selling good enough, or you don't look hurt and you're getting up after everything, people don't care. You need that sympathy. You really need to sell, man. And it took me a long time to obviously get good at selling. It's not easy. But over time, I just became more comfortable, and the psychology came a little more. And yeah, I agree with you, man. It's harder to be a baby face because everything needs to go crisp or else the crowd just don't care.
Yeah, and also to do that sell where you're selling like you're hurt, but you're not giving up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I find that a lot of guys starting out will almost do just the dead sell. Like, this guy is killing me, And I've said to the guys, look, if you're not fighting back, if you're not at least trying to fight back, even though you're selling, why are the crowd going to get behind you? Because they think you're already dead.
Yeah, 100%, man. There's a time and place for a dead sell. But even when you're like dead, maybe it's like for a couple of seconds, but then you have like the twitches happening. But yeah, you're right, man.
Yeah.
But you know, because of, I don't want to big note myself here, but you know, when I was young and reckless, there would always be lots of fights, proper fights. So I'm always used to being like bashed and coming up from the bottom, you know? So I sort of got that from experience.
It was just a little weird that you're getting beaten on, all of a sudden you start doing this on the table. Yeah. Like, why are they coming with me?
Oh, man.
Mate, look, it's been great catching up with you. For everyone who wants to follow you, because by the looks of it, you're everywhere, how can they follow you on social media so they can find out where you're wrestling and catch Smash Mouth Richie Taylor?
Yep. So Facebook is Richie Taylor Pro Wrestler, and my Instagram is at Richie Vegineer. I used to have a Twitter, not anymore. It's poison. It's fucking poison. So I got rid of that. So yeah, you just find me on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Awesome. Once again, thank you so much for coming on the show. For people that don't know, we had a lot of trouble hooking this up because of our timetables, and me living up in Queensland is just the death. It's so hard for times anyway, because like I don't get home from work until like 5:30, 6 o'clock, which is already 7 o'clock your time. And for guys, especially guys that have to train and all of that sort of stuff. And that apparently we all have to have personal lives as well. I didn't realize that. But
no, that's it. You know, I'm usually in bed at 8. Dude, I'm old and I've got to be up super early for work in the morning. So that's why it was a little tricky. But yeah, it's been an honor being on here, man. Thank you so much for having a chat with me.
All right. Richie Taylor, thank you very much for coming on, man.
Thanks, man. Peace out.
Once again, big thanks to my guest, Richie Taylor. I hope the interview is good. Like I said, haven't recorded it yet. So if you haven't already, guys, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on Stitcher, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you get your Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show. Spread the word about professional wrestling in this country. If you're on Facebook, make sure, pretty much everyone's on Facebook. But if you get there, make sure you just search out Wrestle Radio Australia and follow us on there. Also at Twitter, at Wrestle Radio AU, or me personally, at Beast Eastman. If you want to support the local industry, please do in any way, shape, or form you can. I know now PCW are on the Fight app. They're doing their show live. I'm not sure if it's up now. Like, I'm not sure when this is launching, this show, put it this way. I can't tell you if it's going to be live then or... Anyway, go to the Fight app and look up PCW, and just if it's there, I think it was only like $7.99 for the show. Purchase it. Really show that you're supporting Australian wrestling for the local industry here. Also, PWA are doing their Black Label show on the Fight app, so do go and purchase that one as well. Just search it out, because like even if you're spending the $7.99, or I think PWA is $14.99. You're supporting the cause. You're supporting the buy rates will show Fight that this is a viable option. The Australian market is a viable market, and at the moment, we are the only ones doing live. Well, yeah, the only ones aside from your AEWs, your Impact, your the bigger American things, and I think a few deathmatch places in America and that sort of stuff. We're the only ones that can give crowd involved, crowd there, shows for people to watch. So this is a huge step. This is a huge chance for the Australian market to really put a footprint right now. We've got a leg up at the moment because of how well we've handled the COVID crisis. Let's take advantage of that and show these guys how good the Australian product is. Go and support them if you can. There are a lot of also subscription services. The Australian Wrestling Network, go and support those guys. I think the ad will be on this podcast, so please go and support them. Riot City Wrestling has their own YouTube channel. Go and subscribe to that. You'll get all of their shows, if not the week of, the week after they've been live. So if you can't make it to a show in Adelaide, you can see the shows now, the week or after, I think it is now, because they've really got a good turnaround, that sort of thing. So much stuff that you can get around with Australian wrestling. Please do. Please go and support them. If you want to support the wrestlers themselves, go to wrestlermerch.com and get some of the stuff from there. Plenty of guys now have their t-shirts and whatnot up on Wrestler Merch. Go and support it, please. Or Wrestle Merch. I keep getting it wrong. Here's a graphic. So there, go and support that. Support the guys, support the people supporting the guys. Like for me, myself, as a podcaster / vodcaster, we do nothing here but try to support the industry. And I really do hope that eventually the industry will get around to helping support us as well. Because with all of us together, we can really build this, supporting each other, networking together. we can really build this thing up so it's just a juggernaut. And especially now, like I said before, is the perfect time for us to take a foothold in the world of professional wrestling, not just professional wrestling in Australia, in the world of professional wrestling. Now is the time we can take a foothold and say, we are here, we are just as good, if not better than the American products. So let's get out there, let's support them, let's do that. If you want to get some of the Wrestle Radio Australia merch, go to redbubble.com, search out Wrestle Radio Australia. No money from that kind of goes to me. Any profits from the sale of those shirts and whatnot go to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, two charities that I support and I love. And I just want to see grow because they do great things in helping with mental health, men's mental health. And now Gotcha for Life is spread into to helping out girls as well with the whole idea of talking about your problems. And nothing's really as big. A problem isn't really as big as what you think in your head. And if you can just talk about it and get around each other and support each other, just like we do here with this show, we can beat this thing and we can really get mental health under control here in Australia, because it is, like they say, COVID-19 is a pandemic. This is an epidemic in Australia, mental health. So let's really get out there and help each other. And a good way of doing that is supporting places like Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life. Anyway, I've rambled on enough for this week. We will catch you next week right here at Wrestle Radio Australia. And like I say, that's my opinion and you're entitled to it. We'll see you next week.
It's been busy 23, got me feeling way too sweet. Oh, sweet, oh, sweet, dear, dear. Too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet, pour another cup. It's been busy 23.